The School Wants You is my title of my topic here this afternoon. And you might ask, why? Why you? Why does the school want you? Well, who is going to help in the operation of our school? We need, appreciated the thoughts earlier about many different responsibilities of the board. There are many responsibilities, and somebody has to see after it, and it doesn't happen by accident, right? If you're on the board, you are likely chosen by your church. That's typically how most of us operate, I think. And so the church chose you, and I think the thought behind this, the school wants you. I don't know if you know the Uncle Sam with his hand out saying, you know, I want you. So take that and build on that, and don't just be a passive member, because the school needs direction and we need to give it. A number of years ago when we moved to California, I remember sitting in a meeting before we moved, and the plan was to get a board put together for this move to California, right? And I remember sitting there feeling like a sitting duck, because there was only a few of us. And I was asked to be on the board. I was currently serving on the board at our church in Missouri, and so it was, the burden was put in my lap to try to get a school going in our little group there, and it had its challenges. But if somebody didn't do it, who would? And so the school needs you. Okay. So be an active board member. Another thought I had is, how can you as a board, or we as a board, support the schools we serve? And I like the thought that Brother Steve gave, that you is plural. Usually our boards are plural. They should be, or it's not a board. But we need each other's input, and we need each other's help to successfully run the school. And the success of our schools, I think, is in direct connection to how well the board can communicate and work through problems and differences that we face. Be involved, and that's in my outline here that you have. We're going to cover some of the same things that was talked about in the previous workshop. However, I think that maybe we just need to hear it again. I don't know. I have some of the same things down here. So as we look at hiring a teacher, what, you know, as you think of that, what, you know, there's a lot of things and thoughts that go into that. How do you all do it in your schools when you hire a teacher? Here's some of the paths that you take to arrive at who you're going to ask.
Just this last year, the way we did it, I think it probably varies with different school boards or who's in here, but we made a list of possibilities and then assigned three or four of them possibilities to the members. And then communicated on that.
That's a good point. That's a good way. We did that this last year. We had a list of potentials, and we kind of put them in order of how we wanted to proceed, and it worked. Anybody else? We also, just this past year, I was able to acquire a questionnaire that we use for the teachers. And that, I thought that was very helpful, because not only does it give if you know, the prospective teacher says yes, then you give them that questionnaire, and it gives them a good idea where we are as a board, and it also gives the board a good idea of where they are and how they think, and just some of the questions that were on there. I thought that was very beneficial. If you think about it, the person that's teaching at your school will probably spend more daylight hours with your children than you do. It's fairly important. Okay? Any other thoughts? I think as we hire teachers, it's our responsibility as a board to let them know exactly what we expect, and then you know how we do things, and that can be very beneficial and helpful to the teacher. Don't assume that they know how you run your school. They don't, especially if they're not from your community. So it can be a very big help to them. Okay, going to the next part there, number two, is be personally involved. How can you be personally involved in the school?
One thing I found helpful is takes time from the school board, but you know, when you go after school and visit with the teachers by yourself, just sit down with them and keep that relationship open, and you know, you can learn a lot that you don't learn in a school board meeting. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we found that has even helped shorten our school board meetings.
That's a good point.
There's just things that you can just kind of deal with quickly. It just doesn't pile up. Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that. That's one of my points on down under communication, and that the third point could be kind of combined here, but if we let things pile up, that's a good way to make your board meetings stretch out and stretch out.
One of the things that I really benefited from as a beginning teacher is there was a school board member that just, he excelled in asking questions. He wasn't nosy, but through that process of asking questions, you knew he cared. Mm-hmm. He really did care. And it doesn't take a lot of intelligence folks to ask questions. But he then, I think, developed me in my ability to solve my own problems, because he really didn't tell me a lot of answers, but yet he'd steer the whole conversation as I was back on that. He'd say, so why do you think this is a problem? Well, what are the symptoms? Well, here are the symptoms. And so what are your conclusions? What's the cause? And, well, this is what, well, if he didn't like what I said, then he'd say, well, have you considered that maybe this is going on here? And so what are you going to do about it? Well, how would that work out for you? Just that process of questions, I think, kept me in school as a teacher.
I see.
Because he cared for me, he developed my own sense of how to sort through a problem.
Very good. Another thing that I think we can do to be personally involved is pray for your school, your teacher, the children, and the parents. You know, a good, successful school is not going to just drop into your lap. It just doesn't work that way. So, remember to pray for them. As mentioned before in our the other workshop, is don't discuss school issues with your family. You know, your family shouldn't be the first to know what's happened in school before the teacher. That's really not being involved in the way we should be in our schools. Okay, another thing that I think we can do is assure the teachers that they have the freedom and privilege to make personal daily decisions in the school. And if, you know, if it becomes a problem, they can always, you know, hopefully you'll become to school often enough that they can bounce their problems and situations off you. But they need the freedom and privilege to make decisions on the fly, and that can be a benefit in that way. Any thoughts on that?
I agree with that. One of the challenges for the teachers, and this goes along with what we talked about before, is what does the teacher turn in expense receipts? You know, hey, authorize the teachers to go ahead and make these decisions, and then they hand in the bill, you know, maybe how we relate to that could be an indicator of what we really think about them making those decisions on that. Why?
Yes, I like that. And you know, said before too that our teachers are pretty careful with just freely spending the school's money. I don't think that they're going to just be out there wasting our money. I think it would be it can be a benefit for them to give them that privilege to get the things they need to be an effective teacher. I like that.
I know of a school where the school board comes in and does a pancake for the school. And I think the food is pretty basic, pretty basic. It works really well.
Well, at our school, it hasn't happened every year, but our teacher has often put on that. They get together and we all get together, and the students and the teacher make the food, and maybe that's kind of reversed from what it should be. I don't know. But we enjoy it. That's not to like about pancakes and eggs, right? Any other thoughts how we can be involved? Maybe one little thought here is in being involved in, I don't think there's too many things that will crush a teacher's spirit more than a board who is constantly looking over her shoulder to try to see what they're doing wrong. I just don't think that's will enhance their teaching in any way. Or, you know, are we looking for mistakes or maybe bringing up past mistakes? I don't think we should do that. We need to... if there's a time and a place when they have a struggle that and a problem, to help them through that, but I think we need to be gracious and help them in any way that we can. Any other thoughts on that? Okay, going to number three there, communicate, and it's very closely tied to this being personally involved, but I have 2 points here, regularly and openly, and the dean brought out the fact that, you know, just stopping in at school, after school, visiting with the teachers. I've tried to do that as a chairman. It's my goal to do it every week, and it doesn't nearly happen every week, but at least biweekly we should stop in. It doesn't always have to be just school-related, but just keep that communication line completely open and free. And I thought of something when we were talking about, Jonathan was talking about that latte, that if everybody gave that $5, maybe we need to bring them that latte, share it with them. Maybe that would be a benefit. There, you know, back to the food thing, coffee and donuts is always a good thing. Just let them know you care. Any thoughts?
Another personal experience, and that was, you know, when you're headed there, you're going against the ride to town, I'll just call and say, hey, or text, you know, you're coming to visit, want to stop in and get a little drink or something, what do you want? And then they give you their little list, and, you know, you sort of feel like they're prepared for you to come, and hopefully they're looking forward to what you're going to bring them. You know, it sort of kind of just breaks down walls.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you kind of got something to work off of.
Yes.
I suppose everybody knows it, but food is just huge. Like Mr. Gerber was talking about there. When I was a teacher, just a big deal. It can be an apple. How easy is it to just bring an apple? But hey, I think I got an apple.
I remember one time that when I was teaching, that our co-teacher, Paul Fuchs, and I had major problems. And what we thought was, the school board chairman stopped in bad chip. We sat and told him all about our troubles. An hour later, he left. And Juan looks at me, she said, he never told us what to do. But the whole world looked better. But we could do it.
Very good.
It's probably the best policy to never visit school empty handed. No, I
it's a good point. I mean, if you were a teacher, I'm sure you know, you've been there.
Well, I think along with that, if the teacher sees a board member coming, the only thing that they can think of is must be coming to must be something bad. It should not be that kind of feeling. It should
right.
be something good. Something good.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we shouldn't wait to come to school until the end of the semester to see what the problems are. We should be informed right along every week.
At one school I taught, there was a form that only the principal did it, not for us, the board members, but when he would come to visit each classroom, he would fill out a form where you would get feedback in a whole list of specific areas. It's a little bit of a delicate thing. Mm-hmm. A first-year teacher, that could be very, very intimidating to them. He's kind of scrutinized. But I really, really look forward to those forms because I really appreciated that the feedback that I got. It wasn't by no means it all complimentary. It had a list of specific things, like one of them being, you know, which student is the most provides the most distraction, disruptive, whatever. It was always interesting to see whether his observation was the same as what I would have felt, and sometimes it wasn't, and I thought, well, what was he seeing that I wasn't? Did it obviously something? That's just a specific example of the kind of benefit that form had.
That'd be interesting. I've never seen that. I think that would be interesting to see what, you know, what it was, and you know, I can see it would be a good thing, but I can also see where a first year teacher might be intimidated by it.
And I don't know this one here quite if it's number two or number three, but this is something that we sort of kind of by default like just got into it. But the school board going in and helping to check the achievement test and just get right involved with it, and you know, it does two things. You kind of are doing it with the teachers, you're kind of correcting and working, and you can kind of see the travel of some of these students. And you don't have to just look at the final results of what's going on here. You're in the middle of that whole thing all the way through, from start to finish. It's just kind of a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year, you've done it, and if there's got a turnover of teachers, there's not just a scramble of trying to figure out how we do this. You're kind of involved as a school board. So it does more than one thing.
Mm-hmm. And as we look at that B there openly, you know, one of the things that I think of is, as a board, we should be easy to talk to. You know, there's nothing that's going to just shut off that communication quicker than not being easy to talk to. And you know, there are different ways that we can do that. But we, you know, and on the other hand, we shouldn't be easily swayed if we feel like, if the board feels like a situation should go a certain way, but we need to be understanding. And Okay. Number four, follow up with current issues. You know, if you're working with an issue in school you probably ought to check in every few days, not every few weeks. It just doesn't work if we kind of lose the connection if we wait too long. So there can be a real benefit in following up and making sure that, you know, this thing is going the right direction. Any other thoughts? Very good point. Okay, I think I'm going to skip over number five. We basically had a good information on that from our other workshop on the curriculum. Number six, care for the schoolhouse needs. And there was some thoughts given on that as well, but if the teacher calls you and says that one of the toilets isn't flushing right, we better be there. Okay? It's not going to fix itself. So I think we need to be Johnny on the spot when there are needs in the school that, you know, the door latch came off and it happens. And what are some other thoughts on how that we can be there for the needs of the schoolhouse? And this list could get pretty big, really. I mean, what about the bookshelf's full and there's a lot of books to put on, and what do we do? And hopefully we won't get tired of the teacher calling us and saying, hey, I got a problem with this or that. You never know what, you know, the next word's going to be out of his mouth. But it's your responsibility. Does the copier work? Does, you know, it could be any number of things.
It doesn't always have to be when there's a problem either. Sometimes the school board just needs to pay attention and maybe rotate the library books and just create some different, you know, reading material. Or the teacher is going to be so busy taking care of teaching that those kind of things is appreciated. Just kind of rotate the books, or don't always have to be just fixing things, but just kind of working in a creative way too.
We experienced a fire last year in the middle of, or just the beginning of school, and they lost their ball equipment. Quite a few things on the playground, and we had a neighboring school that they know us, they're Holderman Mennonite people, and they put a donation box at their schools to give to our children for their to buy their playground things. And I was just blessed by that, and it just really blessed our students, and you know, that was, I just thought that was such a caring attitude towards what was going on, even though we as a board could have went out and replaced it, but they let us know right away that, hey, we're putting some money together and we want you to replace your lost equipment, and that was such a blessing. Okay, the point number seven is visiting school. That's a tough one for me. It's hard to just take the time and do it. But it needs to happen. Anybody have a thought on how you do it and how you make it happen? I'd be interested in hearing that.
Someone was just saying recently today that they have a schedule for their school board to come and visit. Has anyone tried that? Does that work? I'm not familiar.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not either, so it'd be interesting to...
Yeah, one congregation where I served on the board, that they did have that. You were expected to get in by the next school board meeting, and it was part of the, every school board meeting. It was mentioned that Paul will go, John will go, I guess it would. It worked. Got you in there. Some accountability, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Because I know it's so easy to become involved in what we do every day, and the school board or the visiting school just kind of takes a back burner. I know, I've been there. But I'd like to, and really, it's the out on the wall there, they have that procrastination. They're going to put a photo there later. That's usually what happens with visiting school if you're not careful and you just don't do it. And I think that's where commitment comes in. If you're called to be a board member, be committed about it and make it happen. The visiting of the school. Okay, the schedule. And A is teachers, and B is the term schedule. And I don't know how you all do it. I have carpool down here where we are. Our family's carpool, take turns by the week or by the day or however it works. But back to the schedule for the teachers. How can we, as a board, respect their schedule? We've been talking about it's necessary to go, but it's probably not appropriate to drop in 5 minutes before school starts and expect them to be overjoyed to see you. They're busy, getting ready for the day. I know there can be times when we can drop in for a minute or two, but I think we need to respect their schedule, especially in the morning. Afternoons, they're going to have more time for you than they do in the morning. That's the way it is. And then as relating to the teacher's schedule, most of us have parents come in for a devotional once a week. And schools do it differently, but at our school, it doesn't have to be on a specific day of the week. But we do give encouragement to them that, one certain day is not as good as another, and they try to work around that. And also, I think it's important that we... I don't think that our students need a 30-minute devotion. I just don't feel like that's necessary. And it can really affect the teacher's schedule for the day. Just completely throw it off. So I think we need to be respectful of that. And I think as a board, we can give that direction. There's no better time than at least we all get together at the beginning of our school year. And the board can give that direction at the first day. They're there. So, any other thoughts on respecting a teacher's schedule? Okay, the next part there under the term, we usually try to get out a term schedule. And it's usually the board's responsibility to get that together. And it's been I remember when we first implemented that at our school, and yeah, you're probably not always going to hit the exact, we put the field trip in there, and there's no way to know in August that February or March is going to be a good day whenever that day is planned, but at least there's a target to try to hit, and it gives the teacher something to be ready for, and it's just it can be a real benefit in that way. And they know, you know, when our parent-teachers meeting is going to be, and, you know, they just kind of know how to plan for things, and I think that's going to be a real benefit. And give the parents copies of it, and it also helps them know. Anyone have any input on that?
Getting it prepared ahead of time isn't a big deal. It's pretty easy to procrastinate that, but when I was a teacher, I remember it's just frustrating. You don't even know when the first day of school is. Okay, come on, guys. I've got a job to do here, and I'd like to know. And, you know, sometimes I'd like to know when Christmas vacation is, so I can start planning. Am I coming home for Christmas? Am I going to fly? Am I going to drive? What am I doing? I mean, sometimes months out ahead.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it to have your school calendar together by 1st of August? In fact, our Constitution says that I think by the end of July it's supposed to be handed out. I missed that by a week or so here this time, but it's out now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just helps things, if the teachers know what's happening and the parents, it can be a real blessing and a benefit. Okay, going to number 9, there are teachers' meetings and seminars, and I think it's wonderful that we have something like this on the West Coast that we can go to. And I think our teachers should be able to go, and we should make it possible for them to be there. And I think someone earlier talked about paying their way and even their lost wages. What a wonderful way to support our teachers. Any thoughts?
I think schools should pay for 10 months. Typically, schools pay by the month, assuming they pay by the month. But I think a lot of schools pay for 9.5 months or even 9 months. The message is unmistakable. Either way, if you pay for 10 months, it's saying, we want you, and you actually are in a position then to say, we want you to go.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're only paying for 9.5 months, what it does for the attendance of these types of meetings, it just removes the potency of your ability to influence.
It kind of brings us back to that, the next point there in the wages that we were talking about earlier. And I know we could probably talk for a long time about this, but like you said, if we pay them for 10 months, it sends them a message that we want them. If we're only going to pay them for 9 months, it's like, we just can't wait to get you out of school so we don't have to pay you anymore. That should not be our attitude. So are there any other thoughts that anyone would like to bring in at this point? We talked about it in the last workshop, but what are some ways that we can expand on that in keeping our teachers and helping them be career teachers? I think we talked about it earlier. It's not voluntary service. I don't think we should look at teaching as that type of a thing. It's way more than that. You know, education of our children should matter to us.
One thing I thought about afterwards, I think we should not get the mentality that we'll just throw more money at this and that'll take care of the problem.
That's true.
I think it doesn't take care of some of the things we've been talking about. there has to be personal involvement. So just throwing more money at it is not the answer either.
Yes.
I agree with what you're saying.
Well, that's true. I think there's no place that we can see that more than in our schools in California. They just throw another couple million dollars and they hope that'll help the children get smarter. It doesn't work.
There's some teachers here at these meetings where their school asks for pledges from businesses from the congregation. So they do have their mechanism for, as we would
okay.
be familiar with, but then they also have the same businesses pledging, and it really isn't. It's a school term pledge. It's not a 10-year thing. It's just for the next school year we will commit to give. That can make a difference. We also give a whole new meaning for operating business.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next point, number 11. There are extra activities and monotony breakers. What are the pros and cons or the benefits? Side? This past year, I did a few of these. I don't know if you want to call them monotony breakers or what, but I took the school skating up at a skating rink for an afternoon. And that was such a blessing to just see those children. They were all excited. This was going to be a fun day, and we really had a good time. But it takes, you know, as for the board, if you're going to do that, it takes time. You got to take off of work and you got to go do that. And I found it to be a real blessing. And you know, the students still had to do their work for that day. They worked till I think 11:30 that day, and they got their lessons done because they knew they were going. Anyone else have any thoughts on how you do this?
Another way for the teachers, it would not be great for the teachers, just allow them to visit another school for a day, especially if you're in a community or one more school.
That's interesting. Yeah.
We put that specifically on the calendar every day, every year, teacher visitation. I like it. It's a big inspiration source for teachers getting in the classroom.
See how they do it?
Yeah. New ideas. I mean, you get ideas, and just, it's a day off, basically, and you get new ideas and get to talk to other teachers.
Yes.
We did a fun, when I was a teacher, we did a fun monotony breaker. This was just something we did as teachers, but I suppose as a board, you can do it. The board can institute this. And so we surprised the students, contact all the parents quietly, and then kept everything. We didn't tell them until after school. And then, so, well, you know what? Your moms actually aren't coming to pick you up today. I think we did a hot dog roast and played softball and just spent the afternoon doing a bunch of fun stuff. And then in the evening, parents came around, and I think they had a good time because they stood around forever talking before they were finally went home.
It's back to the food thing, right?
Exactly. So if the board would instigate that, it's a pretty cheap way to have a good time.
Very good point.
Our teachers did a little something like that. It wasn't our teachers, but year before last, they started school at 5 in the morning for just one day. We went to help. And then this last year we started at noon, like 6. We're going to see what happens this year because we've got 6 hours left. But just stuff like that. Everybody enjoyed it.
Yeah. That'd surely change up the schedule, wouldn't it?
You find out how much the parents don't like their schedule, and it's kind of starting to do that. We did that last year. We found out how opposing some of the parents, they struggle with being messed up. And that brings me to the point that some of the greatest success in school life has a lot to do with how great the sacrifice of the parents are. Or school board. the greater the sacrifice, the greater the success.
Mm-hmm. I second that. We run into the same thing where we start doing some of this extra stuff and the parents start, hey, what's all going on here? And that's something to consider.
Well, you know, if you think about it, especially people that have shop-based businesses, if they everything's the same all the time, they're at the liberty to do something different. But in school, it's every day. And I think they need that way more than what we probably realize, even though, you know, can be monotonous in whatever we do. And I think it's can be a real blessing to the school to, you know, like Paul shared, just a surprise for them. That can really be a boost to them.
One school where I taught, the school board members took turns hosting what they call a fall hike. And each one had its own flavor. But we wouldn't necessarily always hike out into nature, out into the mountains, whatever. Sometimes we'd go to, remember one time we went to a place where they were pressing sorghum, their sorghum molasses. It was almost like a field trip kind of thing. One time too, probably one of those memorable ones was school board member that hardly, he didn't exert himself very much because he was a very large man. He was supposed to do the fall hike and everybody just kind of smelled. I don't know, was this a bird in a hike? But he had a sweet along the camel road way out in the boonies. And he just said, meet me there, I'm going to be at Bustoso Little Bridge. So we got there, and yeah, big mud boots, big old gumbies, so you milk cows in, you know. Well, we're not walking far with those things, and well, I was hardly even out of range. Well, I've heard children yelling and hollering, they're Mountain Dew in the creek, and all we did is had to skirt Mountain Dew and grow some hot dogs and walk 150 feet off the road. And that was it. So I hear that talking about it 20 years later.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, number 12, field trips. That's probably one of the things I struggle with, is trying to find a good place to go. And I maybe that's not universal, but we have some interesting things we can go do, but it's far away. And so how do you make this all happen? And so that's a challenge. Any input on good field trips, planning and...
Find a good place, don't throw it away. Put it in the file system.
Yes.
That's where to go.
That's right. Well, I don't know how it is at your school, but last year when I asked for input, I don't think I got one suggestion. And that's hard. And it's kind of burden is probably sort of on the board to come up with something.
Sometimes you have to take that as an opportunity when it is. And there's some things that just happened maybe a weekend this past week, past year. They were having some trouble showing their didn't ascend into the fairground, but we found out that I saw a post report. So like, I think we should go, so you won't be that Wednesday or whatever. I just told teachers, I think Friday afternoon we're going down there. And but you know, it wasn't time for a field trip, it was, but it was something to do.
Yes.
And we could go, so we did it.
It's good. You capitalize on the opportunity. Just when it comes available, do it. That's good.
Depending on how long you serve on the school board, don't forget that every 10 years you can repeat. Because
that's true.
These children have gone.
Yes. That is. I've thought about that too. You know, we have a good zoo not too far away from us, but you know, you could go every 6 or 8 years and you know, it's still beneficial and very worthwhile. One thing we don't want to do is wait till the last minute. It just doesn't work. Plan this, you know, you have board meetings, hopefully, you know, we've already had a few and you can talk about these things before it's time to do it. So
it's a good idea if you can to, like he was saying, just find stuff that is available. And so, you know, like looking in newspapers, magazines, keeping your eye out for local events and stuff. Our field trip this past year, was to a museum that had a exhibit on the Titanic, but it was only there for a certain amount of time. It was fairly well advertised, so I picked up on it because I'm not super good at looking for things like that. But that was a great thing in that it's a traveling exhibit. It's gone now, so we got it that time. But I did think, well, you know, I need to keep an eye on that museum and see what exhibits, just keep track of what they have. Some of them are crazy and some of them, I guess, the Titanic was good. And I don't know if you all probably never do this, I hope not. But where I taught, there was pretty weak board support. And I don't remember if a board member ever went along on our field trips. They palmed us off on their wives. Don't do that.
That's very sad.
No, I'm the guy teacher, right? So no. Guess who gets to help Mama run the field trip?
That is very poor board support. I'll have to second that.
No, that was one thing I was going to say too, is I think that on field trips there needs to be a board member or at least an adult one. I know we had some teachers that were pretty independent. They thought they could do it themselves. I don't know how they ended up doing it. I don't know. But if we try to go along, at least one of us, I know sometimes they do pawn off my wife, but one of us go on whatever children's field trip. I think at least an adult
alone
is a good idea.
Well, we all go at our school, all three board go, and I didn't know we had an option to not go.
You don't. You got the right. That's right.
We would actually consider a day off for the teacher. The board is in charge for the students. Mm-hmm. The teachers are alone for the funds.
I agree with that. I think that our field trip shouldn't be to make the teacher more work. That should be a free day for them. And we should be in charge, be responsible to make the whole day a good day for all.
I know in our school, Asian subordinate members that is in charge of it, and the teachers, you know, they just go along with the fun, and they invite any parents that want to go along. I know I've been along many times, even though I was on the school board. I enjoy it. If I've got children in school, I like to go where they're going to. And I've done that for a number of years. There's years I haven't, but I enjoy it. It's a fun time for me, along with the children. And, you know, they like when their mom and dad's along. Yes. And sometimes it can be quite a group to go. But, you know, it's fun for everybody.
Yes, it is. Okay, the time is here to close. So one of the last things here, 13, express appreciation. I hope that your teachers get more than when they say they're not coming back, you say, oh, you were a good teacher. We would have loved to have you teach again. That should not be the only appreciation and thanks that they get. I think we should be free with telling them how they're doing. They want to know. And I think it will be a big benefit to the school if they know that we as a board feel like they're doing a good job. Let them know. So.
And one of the best, excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think about one of the best ways to do that is to write it. I would go back, you know, if somebody leave a card or just a note or a sticky note on your desk, I guarantee you those sticky notes don't go in the trash can. They'll go in the drawers or somewhere and they'll be read again and again and again. For me, that kind of thanks lasted way, way longer than just somebody at church saying, well, thank you for doing your job. And that's important too, but write it down. This is a huge blessing.
Very good point.
The Icoca said you should always write praise and speak.
So then it's, if you write it, it's probably not going to be flattery. And when you speak it, it can tend to be that quicker than if you write it. Very good point.
Who was it that said they could go for 3 weeks on one good compliment?
Mark Twain.
That probably works if you write it. You might make it a couple months off of one compliment.
Okay.
You know, it's in the report card after you sign and send it back.
That's a good idea.
You see that too.
Yeah. I hadn't really thought of that one, but that is a very good idea. So it takes effort to be involved in the school, but if we work together as a board, and if we're unified together in helping our teachers, you know, it can be a very blessed time, and our schools can be successful. Thank you for your thoughts and input.